Thank you very much. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting. Ms. O, do we have a recommendation?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Basso?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. All right. Get right into the subdivision. We have the Phoenix Heights final plat.
Karen Cobb, Growth Management Department, 201 Southeast Third Street, second floor. Before you is the final plat for a lot in Phoenix Heights at 1822 Northwest 16th Avenue. The need for this plat came about when the owner, back in approximately 2005, filed legal descriptions with the property appraiser's office and created an unrecorded subdivision, which is in direct violation to city code. There were existing structures on this site. Many of the lots still have them. Some of the homes have been taken down since then through a project through the city's redevelopment. In 2010, the planning department presented a final PUD plan to this board and to city council, which was ultimately approved for the Phoenix Heights development. This was in order to allow the existing structures to be flexible in getting waivers for the minimum setbacks required and the reduced lot width. The water and sanitary sewer is available to service this lot. The roads are existing and publicly maintained. Access to this lot will be from the south at Northwest 18th Street through a proposed ingress, egress, and utility easement across the lot to the west of this, to the southwest of this lot. The city currently owns that lot and has no objection to granting an easement for access to the 1822 Northwest 16th Avenue, 16th Avenue. The engineering department is recommending approval of the final plat subject to legal review.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Thank you. I think we don't have a petitioner here for this, do we? Feed or anything or? Okay. All right. With that? Okay. Would the surveyor like to add anything to this or? Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the surveyor just in case? All right, good deal. Okay, we'll open up to the public for any kind of discussion for or against. Nope, okay. Bring it back to the board for discussions or motion.
I move for approval.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion for approval and a second. Any discussion on that? Good, all right.
Staff recommends subject to legal review be added to that motion.
Want to add that to your?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So the motion is to approve it subject to legal review.
Subject to legal review. That was the intent of my motion.
Okay.
Sorry for.
Very good. Took an attorney to point that out of it. All right. So call the roll.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Basso?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. Okay. Annexation, ANX 10-0003.
Good evening, Patty. It's Chuck on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. This is a request for annexation of 1.23 acres located on North Jacksonville Road, the southeast corner of, I believe that's 35th Street and Jacksonville Road. An annexation petition and an annexation agreement was submitted to the city in 2010 for this property, which was not contiguous to the city limit at the time. It was in order to obtain water and sewer services for an AutoZone store being constructed in the county on that property. Since that time, the adjoining property has been annexed by the city, which made this property contiguous, so we have moved forward with that petition to bring it to you this evening. We recommend approval of the annexation.
All
and I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Okay. Thank you. Is the petitioner here? Like to add anything? Okay. We'll open it up for the public discussion right now. If you have anything to say for or against, please step forward. Except for that woman with the cell phone. She's not allowed to talk now. Okay. Nobody from the public? Somebody help her with that cell phone. All right, we'll bring it back up to the board for discussions or motion.
Move for approval.
Okay, we have a motion for approval.
I'll second.
And a second. And without any further discussion, call the roll.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Schatz?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Aye. Very good. All right, abrogation, ABR 12-0001.
Yes, this is a request to the City of Ocala to abrogate a portion of Northwest 11th Street, east of Northwest 7th Avenue. The city owns the property to the north, which is used as a drainage retention area. It is not a constructed drainage retention area. It's just a low area where the stormwater from the neighborhood flows into this area. We are requesting to abrogate this right-of-way so that we can construct a defined drainage retention area. Staff recommends approval. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
On the depiction, shaded area, which I understand to be the abrogation, doesn't match with what appears to be the complete access. Is there a reason why we're not abrogating the entire access, if I'm looking at the right figure?
It's because of the way the old plats in the area. There were some overlapping plats, and that's why real estate came forward with just this portion. More than that, I would need to go back and ask them what the issue is.
Thank you. All right. I guess we'll open it up for public discussion here as well. Nobody? I guess everybody's waiting for the same thing. All right. Bring it back up to the board for discussions or motions.
Move to approve.
I have a motion for approval.
Second.
And a second. Got it right here. You can call the roll.
Mr. Schatz?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. Motion carries. Moving along to ABR 12-0002.
Okay, this is a request to abrogate an additional 10 feet of right-of-way along the west side of Southwest 7th Road. The property is located north of what was Southwest 17th Street and west of 7th Road. At the time the property was platted in 1987, the property owner was required to dedicate this additional 10-foot area so that 7th Road would have a 70-foot wide right-of-way. That's what's indicated in the Land Development Code. When you look at street-specific setbacks, that it was to have a 70-foot wide right-of-way. However, with the construction of the 17th Street overpass over the railroad, it's not likely that Seventh Road will be expanded beyond its existing two lanes, as additional right-of-way would need to be, would be obtained north and south of this property, and the overpass would likely need to be reconstructed to accommodate a larger roadway underneath of it. It's been reviewed by our engineering division, and staff recommends approval of the abrogation. However, we do need to reserve a utility easement as we have facilities in that location. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I've got one, two questions. One, does that put the property lines in line for the property north of it, or is there a step? Are we creating a step or eliminating a step right now?
I believe we are creating a step.
We are. Okay.
From this map, it looks like we're eliminating a step.
I thought we were eliminating, and the others, what brought this to the forefront? What all of a sudden came up and said, wow, we need to do this to...
We don't have any development plans, certainly, and the building setback is still going to be measured from the center line of the roadway. I think it, perhaps the surveyor can speak to it, but it seems that perhaps the right-of-way was given in '87, it's never been used, and so the property owner would like it back.
Okay.
Now, when you say it was given, was it given or did the city...
It was dedicated by plat.
Okay, so no...
There was no, there were no acquisition costs for the city.
Okay.
We give taxes. You give tax, you give property.
Okay.
And in looking at the American self-storage plat, I would agree, it looks like we are eliminating a step.
Yeah, I think so.
I was looking at our graphic map, which was not the best place for me to look.
Any other questions? No, thank you, Patty. Would the petitioner like to add anything? State your name and address for the record, please.
My name's William Carball, 3844 Southeast 9th Place, Ocala. Yeah, the offset of the step will be eliminated. The property all around this to the north and also to the south is part of the Ocala Industrial Park, and those roads were dedicated as 60-foot. So this will put it back in line with the original 60-foot right-of-way. And what's happened is the developer has, or the owner, American Self Storage Limited, is in the process of expanding the facilities, and they're going to be adding some more storage in the back. And this is how it came about when we started reviewing everything that they had there. They may need that additional area for parking and to reconfigure the parking area. Excuse me. So that's how it came about within the last year and a half or so.
Okay. Okay. Any questions?
I'm sorry, can I say no?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
We'll open up to the public for discussion. Okay. Nobody there? So we'll bring it back to the board for discussions or motions.
If there's no discussion, I'll move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion for approval and a second. So if there's no discussion, call the roll.
Mr. Batsel?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. The next item is the public hearing, and we are tabling that, or that's been asked to be tabled?
Yes. We need to remail the public hearing notices, so we need to move this item to the June meeting.
Okay.
If we could. We will mail out new notices and advertise it in the newspaper.
Okay. So do we need to vote on that to table it till then?
We do. The meeting is June 11th.
Okay. So we need to... think about that. So go ahead.
Do we need to open it up for public input before we move to table?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then I'll move to table this item for the June 11th meeting.
Okay, so we have a motion to table to June 11th.
I'll second.
And And we have a second. Okay, any opposition to that? Any discussion? Okay, go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Batson?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Kreiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, so that's going to be tabled to June 11th, and everything's going to be sent out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then moving on to the rezoning, ZON 12-0002.
This is a request of Carol J. Harris as trustee for the property to rezone the property to, actually to zone the property to B4 general business. It's approximately 21.78 acres located in roughly the 5,000 block of Southwest College Road. Property was annexed in 2007, and the land use designation of retail services was approved in 2008. At the time that property is annexed into the city, the county land use and county zoning remains effective until such time that the city applies its land use designation, and then the county zoning is no longer effective. The property was zoned A1 and B4 in the county. With the land use designation of retail services in 2008, the city adopted a policy of its future land use element, which requires that at the time of rezoning, the applicant submit a developer's agreement to address buffers, landscaping, site design, access management, architectural characteristics, uses, and other requirements in the land development regulations. It also specified that signage would all be ground monument signage. We haven't moved forward with the rezoning. The property owner has not been ready to rezone the property because it's difficult to draft that type of agreement addressing all of those specifics to development without a prospective user in mind. They do have a prospective purchaser that proposes to develop 3 to 4 auto dealerships, which would include Porsche, BMW, and Volkswagen. The developer's agreement is the next item on this agenda. The requested zoning of B4 general business is consistent with the retail services land use plan. If more detail in our staff recommendation, which should be included as part of the record for this hearing. But I would be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Yeah. Any questions for staff? I guess. Hold on a second, please. Ma'am?
Yes, I'm Leona Lyles, 5271 Southwest College Road. I own the adjacent property.
Okay. Ma'am, it's not time for you to get up and speak yet. I'm sorry. I have to let the petitioner speak, and then you can get. Then we're going to open for public, and you can get up then, okay? I'm sorry about that.
That's my fault. I thought you said public speaking.
Oh, the phone, and now you send somebody up. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. I mean.
Bill Fudge, 610 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida, is agent for the petitioner. I'm actually representing the purchaser, potential purchaser of this property. This has been a process that we've been working on with the city for closing in on a year now. We have met with city staff, prepared preliminary site work and a developer's agreement. And so if I can, I'll address both this hearing on the rezoning and the developer's agreement at the same time and just adopt the comments at the next, for the next item on the agenda, so it might all fit hand in glove. At the time of the annexation, Ordinance 5740 was adopted, and the city staff has put together a great package for y'all for the rezoning and for the next agenda item of the developer's agreement. It was anticipated that this was going to be retail services, which is what is anticipated as the current anticipated use. So we have met with city attorney dealing with the developer's agreement and ironed out any details that he had concerns with. We know that the city staff are concerned about noise and light abatement, and that's an issue that will be dealt with the site plan and architectural drawings that are subject to city approval as part and parcel of the developer's agreement. There's terminology about the buildings being subject to architectural review and approval for elevations, shared commonality, design, color, and construction materials, and all other matters that are in the city code. So my clients do understand that this is not the final process. They don't get to just go build, and the city has been actually great to work with, and I need to commend them on that. But I do know that noise and light abatement are two issues that the city has addressed and that will have to be addressed with site plan approval. Ms. Lyles is the adjacent property owner. She's lived out there for a long number of years and has access through the corner of this property. And although the site plan is not yet in front of city staff, all surveys and drawings show her access remaining open to her house. The owners of the property are now represented by Randy Klein, and we have been working on this issue for the past couple of days when it came to the forefront from Ms. Lyles making a few phone calls. And I'm presuming that in some fashion she's going to obtain legal access other than the way she has it now, which is through prescriptive easement. I don't believe anybody can close her access. She's been using it continuously and without interruption for how long?
7 years.
Yeah, I think that one wins under the rules. But the county and the city are both, I think you're still in the county, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going to require a 40-foot wide piece of designated access property, for lack of a better term. Every document and every drawing that's ever been submitted to the city has reserved a 40-foot wide piece right over where her driveway is, corner of the property. So that doesn't really affect the zoning, but I know that's a concern of hers, so I wanted to go ahead and address that. The traffic study is complete and been provided to the city. There's going to be no off-site improvements necessary for the intended use. This property is now going to be used for what was anticipated in 2007 when it was annexed into the city. And we have dealt with basically every issue up to the stage of doing final drawings for site plan and architectural. And at that point, we'll deal with a lot of the piecemeal items that you always deal with regard to noise and sound and access. And since this is State Road 200 FDOT issues regarding ingress and egress, and we're getting all the FDOT approvals in that regard as well. Ms. Hitchcock did bring up the one issue. We have a sign ordinance in place that I believe we had a hearing coming up in a couple of weeks on that for a variance to deal with the number of signs allowed on this oddly shaped track. It's a triangular shaped piece, as you can see. It's got a tremendous amount of frontage, but it's not real deep at either end, so it provides quite a challenge here.
The code would allow them to have two freestanding signs each 150 square feet and 30 feet tall. They would like to, each dealership, of course, would like to have their own signs, so they propose their request of variance. They'd like to have four signs. That's 75 square feet each, and we do
have 15 feet. Correct.
So, and they will all have commonality in design. With this amount of frontage, staff does not have an objection to that. Surface getting them lower and smaller is more aesthetically pleasing in the corridor, but we don't have the ability to approve it other than taking it through the variance process. That would be
the board. Mr. Adams, I prefer the signs to be much, much larger and much more voluminous, but they just weren't wanting to do that.
Yeah, no, she was trying not to laugh as she was looking
at
big signs, lots of lights.
Actually, the packets that the city has put together for y'all is really address every issue we've dealt with, and again, both sides, I think. Patty will tell you it's been a fairly good working relationship here on all of these items. So.
All right. Any questions?
The only thing I was wondering about in the ordinance, it talks about no single retail stores.
larger than 50,000 square feet.
Right.
Yes, was supposed to be in line with the county zoning.
Yes.
Unless there was access to Southwest 50th Court.
Correct. The ordinance had no one building, I believe, is the way.
That's what, I guess that was my question.
Yeah, it's worded in a, for one single retail store. I think it means in no one building is larger than 50,000 square feet, the way it's worded. Especially in light of the fact that you're talking about 22 acres.
Right.
You know, if it was two 10-acre parcels, it'd be easy to put 50,000 square foot retail on each 10-acre. You know, that doesn't fit with the per parcel. I think that was delineated, that's the maximum size of any building that's placed on this property.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about possibility of having three dealerships, individual buildings, which I'd imagine are probably
Actually.
At a total more than that.
It does, and that's part of the developer's agreement that's attached to the next agenda item. I believe we put a limitation in it of a max, did we not? Yeah, the city attorney dragged a bunch of the particulars out of the developer's agreement, saying they were best suited to the site plan and architectural approval. I can tell you from a prior draft what the, I believe it's 85,000, it may be 87,000, but that's the maximum square footage of all combined buildings. And that was what the traffic study was based on as well. It's whatever was set forth in the traffic study as the maximum square footage that didn't require any off-site approval. And I believe it's 85,000, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Anybody else? Are y'all going to be able to, are y'all making an attempt to get access to the 50th, Southwest 50th?
We tried, I think it's going to require somebody else to push the Rock Church a little bit.
Okay.
It's a little convoluted based upon the shape of, I don't know if you can see it on your screen. If you see where their building is on the corner.
Right.
That their property has a building on it along the backside of their actually owned piece of property. So I don't know if we can do it or not. I don't know if it'll work. But if we could, obviously every property would love to have access on another road. It benefits the property, it's probably more beneficial.
We have a lot of frontage anyhow.
Yeah. And we're limited to three ingress, egress as well. Two of which are probably right-hand, right-in, right-out, and one at the median crossing, which would be Axel D-cell line. But the FDOT is pretty strict out there along 200 about what you can and can't do on the Axel stuff. So if, I can put it this way, if we could get access on the side street that already has a curb, you know, a cut straight through the median, my guys would love that, but I don't know if that's possible.
All right. Now we're going to open it to the public. Now we're going to do it. All right.
Yes, I am Ms. Lyles, and I own the 17 acres adjacent to the Harris property. And my two main concerns are the potential buyer of this property is the noise level that will be created, and also what is going to be the impact on the value of my property, which won't be good.
I don't know about that. I would think it probably would be.
You might be surprised.
I think it's probably. Okay.
Stop home to me.
Oh, exactly. I know. But like Mr. Fudge said, those issues with the noise and the lighting, that's going to be taken care of in the developer's agreement.
Taken care of with the site plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Which comes back here, correct? Okay. There will be buffers and everything since that's a residential use, or?
Yes, they're required to have either a 25-foot landscape buffer or a 10 feet with a wall.
Okay.
And we do take a look at, if
lighting and as well as sound system. Typically, a car dealership has a sound system, and in the garage area, you also have the air tools. So we take a look at the orientation of those facilities to adjoining residential.
Yeah, that would be of interest, you know, looking at the site, the proposed site plan. There are some uses at an auto dealership, as you just pointed out, that can be very loud and intrusive. And, you know, if there's going to be, what was it, 3 or 4 dealerships?
I believe it will be 4. They have 3, they want to proceed with a vacant 4 location.
Okay. You know, with 4 dealerships, unless they're going to be combining their service facilities, and, you know, a lot of unknown questions at this point, but I would think it'd be hard to kind of keep all that at a distance, you know,
the westernmost dealership could orient its garage areas.
Right.
To the key.
Right.
And then its structure could serve as a noise abatement.
Right. Would it be possible to, like the code would require, like you just pointed out, either 25 feet landscape buffer or a 10-foot landscape buffer with a wall? Would it be possible to maybe incorporate into the developer's agreement, say, the 25-foot landscape buffer along with a wall in that particular area, and not necessarily for the whole site, but just in that particular area? It's just a suggestion to explore, to you know, try to provide some noise abatement for the future.
Watch yourself there.
Enough. If I might address those issues, the preliminary drawings show about an 80-foot setback, quite frankly. I mean, it shows where the landscape buffer would be. No buildings are going to be, I don't have a scale here, but it's at least 80 feet. It may be over 100 feet. And I look back at our old draft of the developer's agreement, it was a maximum of 4 buildings at a maximum total square footage of 85,000 square feet is the way it read. So that matches the traffic study. And the orientation of the buildings have them, most of them have it going through, and most of the work is, most of the drop-off and everything is inside.
Right. And I think with the new designs of auto dealerships, I mean, we see it at the Honda, and if you're looking at new auto dealerships all over, you see a lot of the noise going on inside, you know, the noisy operations going inside. There is a PA system sometimes that can be used, but that's, you know, again, with the landscape buffer and the wall, might be possible to...
The city has addressed with the engineers, focus of the lights being away from the adjacent property owners and back to the middle of the site, and same with the sound. And those were 2 main issues that were brought up by the city staff. So we're well aware of that and know that that's going to be an issue once final plans are ready to go.
And working on a dealership on South Pine, we've discussed with them the decibel level on their PA system, and it will be set at no more than 65. Decibels, which I can't remember what that was referenced to. I don't know if it was a lawnmower or
right.
level, but it was within the upper reaches of the acceptable range in the residential area, but it was 65 decibels was considered the acceptable in the residential area.
Well, most of that activity would be going on during the daytime, whereas on the nights and weekends, is not going to be as much activity.
Our lights pay that power bill for the lights. They love them.
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of the.
They like to be up on the weekends too, I think.
I'm thinking more in terms of the public address and that sort of thing.
All right, you get that cleared up? Anybody else from the public? Nobody else? Okay. I almost closed it back. Yeah, I was going to call you out just to make sure you didn't want to come up here.
Should I come up there?
You should. Not only should you, you must.
I'm a property owner, Carol Harris, and the only thing I want to say is I can appreciate where the owner's coming from.
Can you give us your address as well? Name and address just for the, it's for the record.
Is that my physical or my mailing address?
I just think we need an address for something for the record, so either one.
Post Office Box 240, Silver Spring, Florida, 34489. And I was thinking of, instead of a PA system that would be offending anyone in the area, how about with telephones? Telephones are so enormous today. I mean, everybody has a cell phone, obviously, mine went on.
Yeah, don't remind us about cell phones right now. We're getting ready to vote on this, so.
And maybe not have, you know, loud speakers, you know, doing that. That would save a wall and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just a suggestion. You know, maybe that would be something that would help. Of course, I'd love to sell my property. Okay?
I thought that was probably going to be the first issue.
That was my concern.
Thank you. Anyone else from public? Okay, we will close that off and bring it back up to the board for discussions, motions. Now, right now, we're just voting on the zoning change. So.
Is there any, do we know, do we have a clue? Is the entrance pretty much, the main entrance locked into where that median cut is right now? Been any discussion with moving the median cut?
I believe it's where the median is constructed.
Where it is currently? Okay. So we're not looking at any traffic signal or anything like that, so. Well, if there's no discussion, I move for approval with, you know, consideration of site plan for the noise abatement, noise and light abatement.
I'll second that.
Okay, do we need to add that on here? So you want to?
We,
Yeah, so we can address that in the next section.
Sure.
Do you just want to just do a motion for approval then? We have a motion for approval.
And a second.
Second. And Mr. Jimenean is a second.
You can give it now.
All right, to Mr. Adams.
Makes no difference.
Give it, I think he actually did it before a little discussion there, so give it to Mr. Adams.
Yes, sir.
All right. Call the roll.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Bassel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Schatz?
Aye.
Mr. Briner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Well, sticking with the same piece of property, now we're going to talk about the developer's agreement.
Okay, this is the companion petition for approval of the developer's agreement addressing the buffers, landscaping, site design, access, uses, architectural characteristics for this property located in the 5,000 block of Southwest College Road. The submitted agreement does comply with the future land use element policy requiring the agreement, and we recommend approval.
Sure. Any questions for staff? Any questions? Would the petitioner like to get up and address this again, or no? Real quickly?
For the record, Bill Platt, 610 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida. Adopt the commentary at the previous
agenda item.
Wow, that was official. That was official. All right, and we'll open this up for a public discussion as well. Okay. Close that off and bring it back up to the board for discussions or motions.
Well, I would just maybe make the same motion of approval with consideration for those matters for the noise and light abatement.
Okay.
And in relation to the development agreement, developers again.
So you're making a motion for approval with considerations for the noise and the lighting?
Yes.
Okay, we need to make that part of the motion, Pete? I mean, is worded that way, or do we need a kind of structure?
With the consideration of the
noise and light abatement.
Don't you already have that in the agreement? I mean, it's in 5.1 buffer, so if you don't like what's in there, which is 10 feet wide with a 6-foot wall or 25 foot wide without a wall, I'm thinking if we're going to approve it with conditions over and above that, we need to see what those conditions could be. I don't know why we do that.
The only thing would be, and we will pay attention to those items. I think that the wording in the agreement's fine. We'll make sure that, you know, the
Terms
of the buildings and things like that, the locational aspects of these would be considered whenever we.
Right, and that was the intent, just the discussion that was had that, you know, during the meeting.
Right.
Would be taken into consideration.
Right.
I've got a question on the 6-foot high wall and the 25-foot buffer. Does the adjoining property owner get any input at all? Not saying that they should or shouldn't, it's just.
In some cases in the past they haven't, and some they haven't. I don't think that this, in this agreement, it takes into consideration.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, when we talk about a 6-foot high wall, if it's 10-foot wide buffer, is that a industry standard of some sort? I'm thinking noise travels over a 6-foot fence.
Yeah, in other cases it's been a little higher, but that's the default setting, so to speak. I think that's straight out of the code, actually. So, you know, this developer's agreement really is a code requirement.
Sometimes the wall can be more disruptive because if you have to tear down, you know, change grades and tear out the vegetation in order to build a wall, I think, you know, we have a lot of developments below us on Silver Springs Boulevard, the Home Depot on Highway 200 where they have the wall and it seems to be effective, and, you know, there's very little incident as far as the noise and the lighting goes.
Those are much taller than 6 feet, aren't they?
That one's, depends on what sort of grade you're on that wall, I think.
Yeah.
How tall are you, Russ?
I think
it's, yeah.
I'm thinking 6 feet up here on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. Now, in some cases, we've gone higher and we've made consideration. We work with the developer or the builder when they're putting the wall in. It usually saves a lot more tree if you don't go with the continuous trench and a footer and foundation on the wall. If you can lengthen the wall or have posts and some kind of fence that slots into the post. We've worked through those issues typically whenever we're on the site or we're reviewing the site plan.
And that's why I'm happy leading it up to just saying, giving consideration for circumstances. It doesn't need to be for the length of the property. It can just be for, you know, an area that's, you know, particularly affected or particular concern. And leave it to staff and the discussion of planning and zoning.
Okay. So then your motion is going to be what then? Just
approval with consideration of P&Z comments regarding P&Z discussion regarding light and noise.
Okay, we have a motion for that. Have a second.
Cool.
make a comment before. I mean, it's the way, this is more a talk about, or my comment on the way the ordinance is set up than this change, but it's really set up where, you know, since they're required for it to submit a site plan, or not a site plan, but this developer's agreement, you're really conditioning the zoning on what you're relying on in the developer's agreement. So this doesn't concern me. This is just the way the ordinance setup does, because that's conditioned on an agreement that we now are talking about having, you know, you have some concerns with. And it's fine because we're just an advisory board, but we're passing on the finished product. So it probably should be in the motion, but the mechanics of this are backwards, as the ordinance is set up, because we conditioned the rezoning on the developer's agreement, and now we're expressing concern about the developer's agreement and some terms therein. So I don't mean overcomplicated, it just, it's a little bit of a backwards way to get to yes. So that said, I'll second.
Well, just for discussion, that getting to yes is important, and then adding other discussion that's had by the board, so the planning staff can go back and review that if they desire to go to sit down with the developer and say, you know, can we negotiate something? So it's not quite as solid as a nail, but it's something to give some guidelines to.
Yeah, and there's really no other way to do it, because contract zoning is illegal, so they can't bring it before the board and negotiate, you know, different aspects of it at that point. So, and we're just advisory, so I guess it makes sense for us to do it this way.
What is it exactly that we're asking staff to do?
Well, see, we've already granted the zoning change.
Right.
Basically, and it's not conditioned upon the terms in this developer's agreement, but it is. And now we're saying, but except the terms involving buffering and sound and noise, even though it says one thing in the developer's agreement, when they come back for site plan approval, we want you to make sure you're extra stringent on that and maybe go above and beyond what's in the developer's agreement.
But how do they do that if we've approved the developer?
We've kind of cut down their ability to do that. That's what I'm...
So it seems to me that the motion should be just to approve the developer's agreement.
Unless
we've let staff know where we stand on it, and I think that's about all we can do.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to tie any conditions to it.
Unless you recommend specific
changes to the developer's agreement. Exactly.
Which you say this is what our code is.
That's our code, yeah, so but that doesn't mean...
I know, we'd be asking for something over and above code,
yes.
Which I would imagine Bill might want to talk about.
Well, the developer's agreement is where you incorporate elements that are over
and above. We didn't say you have to talk about that. It sounded like an invitation to me. The difficulty here is when you start piecemealing the developer's agreement, you're going to find that your city attorney is going to say you can't do it that way. The developer's agreement, when it started out from our side of the table, said all the different things in it about here's what the landscape, and we were attaching drawings and everything else. That apparently creates more of a problem that you're concerned about, Rob, than solves the problem that you're concerned about, Mr. Al. I think what it does is the developer's agreement now says we'll comply with the code and whatever requirements the city imposes upon us at the time of site plan approval, and there's no guarantee that they'll give us site plan approval or approve the architectural drawing. To be frank, I think the motion has to be to approve the developer's agreement kind of the way it is, but with a note to city and staff saying, please watch out for these particular things. We're approving it the way it is. However, we want you, when it's time for you to seek site plan approval. Otherwise, you're conditioning what's in the developer's agreement. I think that's where the problem comes, that then might create some issues about contract zoning. They are that.
Well, and that's why my motion was worded the way it was, with consideration to those issues.
I don't know if it needs to be in the motion, though.
That would be my concern from the developer side of the table.
thing, if your motion is to approve the developer's agreement as submitted to the city and is agreed to by city attorney and city staff, but with an understanding that the city, you want the city to know that you're concerned about those things without making it part of the motion, I think you're fine to do that. I think they've heard it loud and clear, at least Pete knows it, because these were issues we've already started working.
Right.
I'm just concerned about putting conditions in the approval, because I think that's where we're going to get into trouble.
Well, there are no specific conditions in that, other than consideration of our discussion.
Okay. You want to leave your motion the way it is?
I mean, y'all can vote it down if you want to, but I don't know that there's anything that handcuffs, you know, the developer or the staff, city staff, by the wording of the motion, so.
And I think you're right. I just wanted to point out that the special consideration to those things can only be make sure they stick to what's in that developer's agreement, which is the 25-foot buffer or the 10-foot buffer and the 6-foot wall. It can't be special consideration as in clap them with the 25-foot wall. I mean,
why do we need to add in all these extra words to the motion? Why can't we just make a simple motion and...
I'm ambivalent. I just have the same concern about adding conditions. I really don't think it changes anything. I seconded it. Yeah, I don't think it has any material difference. I just think we need to understand that all we're doing is accepting that agreement and giving council, telling council...
I think we want to accept that agreement, but kind of... Well, we got a motion and a second, so I guess we need to vote on it.
Can we hear the motion again?
With Commissioner Howell moved to approve with consideration of staff's comments concerning the abatement of noise and lighting. Is that correct? If I have it written, I can't find it.
That's the gist of it.
Is that...
Was that correct?
Yeah, well, you said staff. I think it was with the consideration of discussion, you know.
Okay. Now, just to be clear about this, if we have this this vote and we and it doesn't pass, we can reissue a motion.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making
sure.
Okay. Call the roll.
Mr. Howell.
Aye.
Mr. Bassel.
Nay on a motion. I second it.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Nay.
Mr. Schatz?
Nay.
Mr. Greiner?
Nay.
Motion is denied.
For the record, Mr. Howell, I agree. I mean, there's just no reason to chance.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. My feelings are hurt.
We have another motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve the developer's agreement.
Okay, so motion for approval?
I'll second that one, too.
Oh, God, what's going to happen here?
Okay, now I've got to have a little bit of discussion here. We just had the comment made that we didn't tighten anything up, and I think we just loosened it up because we asked them to go with this agreement and paying special attention to buffering.
They're already going
to
pay special attention to all the stuff that's in our notes.
Okay.
But
either way,
we're getting in the habit of always making these motions that all have these extra things tacked onto them that I don't think we need to tack on.
And that we can't legally tack on. I mean
if it was something specific, then that's different.
Right. We could say put a 10-foot wall.
Right.
Right. Because then staff knows they're supposed to put a 10-foot wall. So, right. Telling staff to pay attention to our comments, that doesn't tell staff.
But the first motion didn't open the window for staff to make anything less stringent as was stated. Correct? Now, I'm not an attorney, but then you stated that the first motion opened a window for more problems, and I'm trying to figure out how.
No, I mean, we were strictly approving or denying the developer's agreement before us and adding kind of a, looking back on it, an ambiguous little condition.
Right.
And we really, can't add a condition, especially one that's ambiguous that doesn't really define what we're passing.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
We're good? Okay. So we got a motion and a second. So call the roll now.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Basil?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
No.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Brunner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, very good.
All right, then number eight, the comp plan text amendment. We are, what are we doing there?
We're requesting that we pull that indefinitely, although we think that we are going to come back in July with those amendments. As you'll recall, we brought the vision-based amendments before you 60 days ago, I think, the March meeting. And the attorneys at the time, Mr. Gray and Mr. Curry, had some concern over what they called piecemealing plan, doing a part of it now and then a part of it later. And again, as you'll recall, you may recall or may not, part of the problem, this problem started because of the change to DCA when it turned to the Department of Economic Opportunity, and we had started the year, we thought that we were going to just do our vision-based amendments as a part of the year. They then told us we could continue with our vision-based amendments, but we couldn't start our year process until August. We have, in the interim, gone to DCA, or DEO, talked to them about the substance of our changes to the vision-based amendment. They're very receptive. They liked our approach. They seem to be very favorable, although you never know what could happen whenever you transmit your element. We did have our attorneys go through through the amendment. They had some concern, especially with inconsistencies with the rest of the plan. And there is the potential for inconsistencies, especially between land use and water and water, sewer, and stormwater. So we want to go back, do the vision-based amendments right before we submit the year-based amendments, so that there's kind of a seamless carry between all of the amendments that we do. I think there are about 9 other chapters that will need to be amended with year-based amendments. But we want to, what we'll do is bring the vision-based amendments, the future land use, transportation, recreation parks, and the CIE, capital improvements element, back in July. At that time, we'll have incorporated the historic preservation ordinance into the future land use element, and we will have eliminated, or we'll eliminate the CRA element, because we don't think that we don't need an element in our comp plan for that. It was an optional element. There may be some other optional elements that go away, either during that portion of the review or when we get into the year-based amendments. There may be some optional elements that we take out. So I'll answer the questions that you have.
So we just need to table it until further direction from you guys?
What will likely happen is that we want to take it to council in August, I think. So we will probably come to the July meeting. We have, we think we may, we would like to change meetings. We have that second date in July, in every month, open, as opposed to having it on July 9th, because we know that that's usually a week where people have vacation scheduled, because it's July 4th. And we may want to switch that to July 23rd. So we just have one meeting in July, but instead of July 9th, it would be July 23rd. We can bring that back. You can consider whether that sounds good to you or not.
Okay. That could be enough time to bring it back to council in August?
Yes, yeah, so August 21st, we take it to council.
Prior to that time, will you be taking it to Mr. Gray and Mr. Curry?
It's likely that we'd have one more meeting with those guys, yes. And we'll have probably at least 2 more with our attorney.
Okay. So we need a vote on, or have a motion on tabling it and vote on that. And I guess you want us to table it to the July?
You don't have to table the time certain. You can just table it indefinitely and we'll bring it back.
Okay.
in July. That's our plan right now, to go back in July.
Is it a motion to table or a motion to remove?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just thinking, is it, if you table, do you have to table time certain?
Yeah, I think so. I think if it's table, you gotta bring it up at the next one, don't you? I don't have Robert's rules in front of me.
Not an application, so it can't be, I don't think you have to table it to the point certain, you know, what about this, we would need to advertise, we would do that anyway.
When it, I'll defer to Sam's rule.
Can we, while he's looking at it, can we get that in more advance than usual, since it's gonna be?
Yes.
Quite a bit.
Well, and I know we, like I talked to you earlier today, we talked about the one meeting when we discussed this with Mr. Gray and Mr. Curry came up here about having meetings and us being included in the meetings.
We can, you know, we can workshop in portions if you wanna do that. Of course, that's gonna take time, you know, you're gonna have to take time. We can bring, my suggestion then would be, if you wanna do it at, we're running out of time. If you wanna do it at these meetings, we bring it back and we bring parks, recreation and parks to June and just workshop it. I think that would be a problem, but we'd run out of, we'd run out of.
I mean, I don't wanna mess the process up, you know, but I think we all wanna kinda be involved, you know, in some discussions.
Remember, if we have you involved in discussions, we have to, we actually have to advertise those. So individually, you can participate, I think, maybe not. Can talk to staff about individually.
Okay. All right, so you, are you still looking at it?
Yeah, I had it and then I lost, you know.
Would you just, instead of tabling it indefinitely, if there is a prohibition or limitation on that, then you just pull the.
Can pull it and, yeah, we can bring it back.
Of course, we can also table it to a specific date and then retable it again, couldn't we, I mean?
Yeah. Can bring you an update to the next meeting too.
If the developer wants to table indefinitely.
That's why it's indefinite.
Well, let's do that.
Some developments have been tabled indefinitely.
We just got a new weapon in our arsenal.
It's a lot like double secret probation.
Like executive order or something.
If I'd have known that, that's what I would've done with that last motion.
Twenty-foot wall.
All right, well.
Yeah, that doesn't say anything about time specific.
I don't think it is time specific.
Doesn't say anything.
I think it has to be, I think it has to be addressed at.
Yeah, we can open up for public discussion, we're not gonna have any, I don't think, so.
My memory is, if it's tabled, it shows up on every agenda to come in a meeting thereafter, and we have to table it again, as opposed to if you remove it, then it doesn't show up on an agenda.
That's probably true, right, that's probably true.
So I don't really care what we do, but we need to do one of the two.
Yeah, I'm open for either one, so if anybody's got a motion.
On the advice of council, I'll move to remove.
Move to remove.
Better be careful with your wording.
Does the planning commission place things on the agenda or remove things, or is that the planning department that removes?
I'll understand what you mean if you do it.
No, we don't.
Whether you table it or you remove it,
We're gonna see it in the back.
Staff's gonna do whatever they want to do in the back.
No, we're not gonna do whatever we want, we're gonna do what we think you intend for us.
What is it exactly?
Let me ask this, if we table it, and it has to come up at the next meeting, and we don't intend for it to come up for next meeting, don't you all have to notice it for the next meeting?
Do we have to advertise the newspaper?
Yeah.
Advertise it for the meeting at which you take action.
And that's what I'm saying, if it's gonna be on the agenda for the next meeting, then it seems like you might have to advertise it at the next meeting.
And that's not a...
Right.
Whatever the more careful, the department requested that it be removed from the agenda, and then you approve our request to remove it from the agenda?
Yes, we could approve that, because you requested approval. Either way, it's, is that formal? Is that the way we want to do it? Is staff recommending us that we remove it?
Yes.
Okay. So we can make a motion based on that, so. You've got a motion that needs to be seconded or denied.
There's one standing.
So that's what you made, a motion to...
Just a motion to remove.
Motion to approve the request to remove.
Second.
And you got a second, okay, good deal. Call roll.
Commissioner Bedford?
Aye.
Commissioner Scott?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Aye.
Commissioner Gibney?
Aye.
Commissioner Powell?
Aye.
Commissioner Breyer?
Aye.
She's getting better, at least she didn't miss, you know, pronounce it again.
Before you, oh, I just wanted to make a comment. I just wanted to make a comment because of the issue that we had with the last vote, and this would be my only comment, that I think that, based on what our responsibility is, I think that if we're to make recommendations, we need to make specific recommendations, as opposed to vague recommendations, because the reason why I say that is because everything that we say is recorded, is public record, and is hopefully reviewed and considered by city council, and so I think that if we're gonna make if our issue is a 6-foot-high fence or a 10-foot-high fence, I think that we should make the recommendation for a 10-foot-high fence. I mean, we've done these things in the past, I think that's, we should get away from vague recommendations and make specific ones, and if they pass, they pass, if they don't, they don't. Either way, they've been specific. I don't think they really, I think it's hard maybe for someone else to guess what our intent was with these.
Yeah, in general, I agree with that, and I'm comfortable making a vague, you know, being vague like I was in that motion. However, in this case, the reason for that is because I haven't been on the site. I don't know the exact, you know, specific circumstances of that site. So to recommend something specific without knowing what's best would not be wise. But if I let staff know that this is a concern, and would like their, you know, as they work on the site and as they work with the developer, so that they have a general idea of, hey, if there's a good spot to put, you know, if we can increase the buffer for this residence by adding 3 or 4 feet to the height of the wall and a few more feet to the, you know, to the buffer, then they at least have been given the intent by the board in the motion to say, you know, this was the general intent given. We've negotiated some things, and we think we can get this done, and it's not going to be prohibitive cost-wise. So that's why in this case I went with something more vague in order to give staff, you know, some latitude on the specific application, because it is a site-specific issue that's hard to determine, you know, sitting here at the planning and zoning commission, so.
I would have to say as well, without seeing a site plan, how do you know what to do? Specific and make it specific, and knowing some of the city council members that do sit down and read the minutes from this, that they know that that is a concern of ours, even if it's, you know, in the motion that's there, it says, you know, listen to what we're saying, we don't have anything in front of us.
Right.
You know, to look at yet, and that's the thing that concerns me the most, is that we did a developer's agreement with no idea how they're developing this triangle. and exactly what they're planning to do. So how can you say, you know, I think 25 feet's better than 10 foot and a 6 foot wall? 6 foot wall's waste. I mean, around a commercial development, that's ridiculous. It should be at least 10, if not 12, because we've got 10 to 12 feet around our house.
That's what we should have done.
I understand.
Well, again, we're getting into some things, and I think Phil can touch on this, is would it be more advantageous to have more trees? And if you thought so, and you can say so, and no wall, or a higher wall?
Yeah.
Or you put in a wall that's so high that it's not feasible to put it up, and therefore the trees.
And you guys said no, yeah.
But what we can't do, and this is the reason why I vote no, is you can't say the document that's here is approved, but we want staff to do something else. It's one or the other. It's either the document's good or we want something else. You can't have the document good and staff to do something else, because that doesn't tell staff what we want them to do. It just tells them to do something.
The more objective.
And that's not fair to staff.
Right. The more objective, the better.
Right.
And at the same time, there's, in my judgment anyway, there's a time for just giving staff latitude to apply the sentiment, you know, the intent of what's communicated. So, but no, I don't fault anybody for voting against it.
And to peel the onion one more layer, the reason what jogged my mind and got me thinking that way, I mean, years ago we used to, or council had an issue with what they perceived to be potentially contract zoning going on pretty frequently. So they looked into it, and this, the way that we now do things with the site plan submittal at the time of the request for rezoning was to cure that problem that we're speaking of, which is give council an idea of what's going to happen there when they're requesting the zoning change. Because, again, it's illegal for them to sit here and, you know, place conditions during a public hearing, a quasi-judicial public hearing. So now here we are, and then we got into what we all just discussed, which is, you know, how deep do you want to go down the rabbit hole in terms of legislating, you know, how high the wall's got to be when you're just approving a rezoning conditioned on a developer's agreement. It gets you back to the same question as to, well, are we just in a roundabout way contract zoning at the end of the day?
And in the answer to that, to say no to the developer's agreement and direct staff that we'd like to see a higher wall,
yes,
come back. I mean, that's
yeah. And I if I so. Were to remake the motion, that's what I would have changed some specifics, but there again, how wise is it for me to be changing specifics sitting at the P&Z meeting when I'm not familiar with the conditions on
sure.
the site?
So, and the other problem with that is, well, we just approved the zoning, so now the whole reason for the ordinance was to make sure that we had a site plan that gives us some comfort in approving the zoning. Well, now we approved the zoning, and now if we deny the developer's agreement, we just eliminated all the conditions that we had the benefit of at the expense of 4 feet for on the wall. So that's why I don't like the order of how it's presented together without being tied into the same.
The other part of it is we get the package on Friday night at 5 o'clock for a vote on Monday night. And unless you're intimately familiar with the property, how can you make any opinion about any of it? Mm-hmm. You know, and have any value whatsoever. I happen to be very familiar with the lot because of a project we just finished on the adjoining property. But other than that, if it hadn't been for that, I would have no knowledge of where this is. It could be in Las Vegas or Ocala. It wouldn't matter. And this weekend, there was no time to go out there and traipse around and look at it and figure it out.
Incidentally, Mr. Chairman, I know the books are being delivered to my house. My office is closer, if that makes it easier for you all.
Well, I was getting ready to bring that up as another point to bring up, but I'm glad you did, because I was under the impression the last time we had this vote of who wanted hard copies, that we could have either or, but we can't.
No.
We can't.
The lengthy process, I think Patty can better explain it than me.
Both ways is time consuming, and to do both is double work. Get them ready to go out electronically, you get it formatted to go over the wire electronically, or run the copies.
Okay, because what I wanted, I just wanted a hard copy. I didn't necessarily need it delivered to me. I was just going to come by and pick it up. So, I mean, I don't know if that changes how things can be done from my perspective, because I know some people want it electronically. Of course, were you the only one that wanted electronic?
I think I'm the only one.
No, I wanted mine electronic.
Us old guys can deal with it electronically.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, if it's easier to do electronically...
I think it's the same, isn't it the same amount of work?
I prefer to have it delivered to all.
If you prepare it to be sent electronically, can't you just, I mean, click print on that document?
No. She scans it, right, just what, you know, what she's doing. It's, we have to take it to the copier and program the copier to put the mail, the book sheets and the whole bit, not just a print job.
Okay. So I guess, there's really no good answer to that situation, I guess.
I like my hand delivered. I like it just the way it happened this last time.
When we deliver it, does it usually happen that way, or is there some...
I don't like the internet.
I like mine hard copy, but I lost my binder, so I've got to buy it.
You can have mine.
Know exactly where mine is, it's just not you.
I have my loosely, if I just don't...
You want it delivered to your office instead of at home?
I would actually prefer that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. That's it?
I'm gonna give mine to my wife, like she did last time.
Where's your...
Can we get them on Thursday? They're gonna come like this?
Yeah.
If we can get them to the house on Thursday. And I'll be happy.
No more discussion.
Yeah, mine's waiting for me at the house when I get home.
I'll take it.
Friday night, I'm out.